My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. When is the best time to go on safari? Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. It's the end of another month, almost. It's almost the end of another year. So as you look ahead to next year and you start planning your trips, your vacations, your photo tours, your safaris, I am going to hand over to Donovan and Danny, and they're going to share with you what is the best time to go on safari. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Hello, everybody. My name is Donovan, and I'm sitting here this morning with Danny.
Hi, everyone.
And this morning we decided that it might be a good idea for us to record a podcast on the topic that we want to cover is probably the most asked question, not just if you're a first-time safari goer, but even a veteran safari goer maybe wanting to go to a new destination. And that's the question of when is the best time to travel to Africa or to different destinations in Africa? When's the best time for a safari? And so Dan and myself thought that we'll unpack this question. And we've got a few different topics that we want to discuss during this podcast. And Danny, I want to start off by firstly asking you, what is your favorite season? So let's talk about favorites of seasons first, and then we'll sort of unpack each one. What is your favorite and why?
All right, sure thing. So let's start with South Africa, my favorite season for safari in South Africa. I always recommend September, October. I just have such a love for those months on safari. And I think it also comes from my lodge-based guiding days, where I just loved September, October. The reason for that is September, it's not that cold anymore. Winter is starting, spring is starting, not winter. Spring is starting in September. You know, you get the new buds, the new flowers, everything is blooming.
There's a different kind of smell during those months, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a fresh smell. Yes, and then into October, because the summer rains haven't started yet. Summer rains are supposed to start in November. So you're not going to have a wet safari. Birds are starting to come back from migration. And yeah, so I think that is one of my favorite times of safari, especially in South Africa.
Yeah.
But there's so many other times in South Africa that's also great for safari. If you look at, let's say, June, July in winter time. Yeah. In winter time, you have that, how can I say this? Like, it's not that lush. You know, it's easier to spot animals.
The bush thins out.
That's right. But now I also have to remember that that's like peak winter season for us. For someone that is used to the cold, that probably doesn't bother them that much. But for us, who's not that used to cold and snow and all those kind of cold things, it is very cold for us during winter time.
And taking into account, in South Africa, most safari vehicles or jeeps are open vehicles.
Yes.
So it's not like in East Africa where you've got those covered vehicles.
Right.
So you are exposed to that cold from the early morning. It is cold.
Yeah. And you only warm up after your safari when you're back at the lodge. But like I said, if you can handle the cold, that is also such a nice time to go on to safari.
Yeah, and I think because also, like you mentioned now, because of the cooler temperature, the animals tend to stay longer, active for longer. Especially things like the cats, lions, leopards, they stay active well later into the morning. In fact, I've had it in winter months where you would leave the lodge, and if you find a leopard early on sleeping in the road, they'll actually huddle up like in a little ball and sleep in the road until it actually warms up a little bit. Then only about 8-9 o'clock in the mornings is when they'll start moving for a bit. So I've seen that quite a few times, especially in the Sabi Sands in South Africa. Okay, then I want to ask you something. There's this term that gets swung around quite a lot, or safari lingo, if you want to call it that. But that's peak season. And I want to ask you, is peak season always the best time to travel to Africa?
I would say no, it's not always the best time. It depends on what you want from your safari. Peak season, it's a term used by lodges saying that is the most popular time to travel, and that's normally the time as well where they will increase their rates. So you'll see you'll have higher rates at lodges in your peak season than on your off-peak season. But no, people will have different peak seasons on what they are interested in. So let's say you, Donovan, you're very interested in birding. Your peak season is going to be different to someone whose peak season is for cats, you know? I don't know, peak season is not the right word to use for me.
Yeah, I think where people often get confused with the terminology peak season is I think people think peak season necessarily means best game viewing.
Yes.
And to an extent, I guess, during those, that's why people want to travel is because, yes, well, like we discussed earlier in terms of South Africa, animals are active for a little bit longer into the day. So you've got opportunities to photograph them maybe in the daylight, which is awesome. But I also think you're right. I think peak season is actually a term used by lodges that this is their peak price range. That's when their prices are their highest, and with good reason, because people travel and it's that age old question with supply and demand. There's more demand to travel over those months, and that's why the prices are higher.
Yeah.
Okay, but I agree with you.
Also, if you take activities in consideration for peak season, if you take peak season, let's take walking safaris for an example. Walking safaris are better in wintertime, especially in South Africa, because the grass is not that tall. Whereas in summertime, you will get a tick infestation if you walk. Ask us, we know.
That's very true.
If you walk in the summertime, and I think it's very similar to, like, let's say Botswana. Botswana as well, with Mokoro season.
The thing is, it's also more pleasant to walk in winter because summer can get, the daytime temperatures can get so hot in summer that you don't want to walk in summer. So it's just more pleasant to walk in winter.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I think what I want to change this topic. We're talking about the best time for an African safari, what time of year. I actually want to, like you touched on it earlier, but the better question to ask is, what do you want from your safari? Because is it that you want more affordable rates? Is it as a photographer that you want more dramatic skies? Is it that you actually want to see baby animals? Do you want active predators? Do you want to actually do your game viewing or take your photos from a photographic hide? Because obviously if you go in the beginning of the year when it's rainy season and you sit in a hide, you'll be disappointed because there's water absolutely everywhere. If you want to have an effective time of photographing animals from a hide, you need to go in what they would call peak season, when the water is at its lowest and there's very little water left and animals need to come to that waterhole where your hide is situated. So that's another question. Do you want cooler temperatures? Do you want to be? This is actually also something that people don't often take into consideration, but it bugs, you know?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Winter is definitely the best time if you want to avoid bugs.
Yeah.
Because the bugs come out after the rain. So if you're a person that you don't like those little creepy crawlies, then maybe winter is the best time for you to come.
I think winter is the best time for you, Donovan, because you don't like spiders.
True. Actually, now in Johannesburg, it's now our rainy season started here, and the rain spiders have started to come out. I'm terrified of those spiders. For those of you that might not know what a rain spider is, it's massive. It's the size of an elephant. It's a massive spider. Not quite, but they're big. They're very harmless, but they're terrible looking and they're scary. And I've got a massive phobia for spiders. Cool, Danny. So so you've touched on South Africa. Now maybe let's move on to like a place like Botswana. I actually want to ask you one more question in terms of South Africa before we move on to Botswana. And this is also a big thing because a lot of people, when they come to South Africa, want to combine something like Cape Town.
Yes.
To safari.
Yeah.
So you say now that September, August, for example, or September, October is your favorite time, which is also actually a good time for Cape Town.
Yes.
But what if I want to go in peak season, and I'm putting that with my hands up, but peak season, so July, August, September, what does Cape Town look like?
Yeah. So that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that the weather system in South Africa is swapped around from the eastern to the western side. So let's take the eastern side, where most of your private lodges, your private games of the Kruger National Park is situated. So there we have wet summers and then dry winters. Well, normally, if you don't take climate change in consideration. Yeah. Normally, you'll have a wet summer and a dry winter. Whereas in Cape Town, on the western side of South Africa, it is more a dry summer and a wet winter. Mm. So yes, June, July, August, you might have a very rainy, wet, cold. Well, not cold, but Cape Town,
mm.
Which can limit you sometimes to do stuff. Let's take Table Mountain, for example. If you are more on the adventurous side, you won't be able to, let's say, hike up to Table Mountain, yeah. or the cable cars are doesn't operate because
the fog is too much.
Stuff like that. So that is something definitely that you have to take in consideration when you want to combine, let's say, Cape Town and a safari with one another.
So when would you say is the best time to go to Cape Town?
September, October.
Yeah.
Yes. Because Cape Town can also get very hot. That's another thing. So yeah. And you know, that dry summer heat, you walk out and that's just like, feels
yeah, and I mean, normally very pleasant weather. Yes, it could be December as well, but the problem is that's when the South African school holidays are.
Yes.
So all the local South Africans go to Cape Town. Yeah. The people from Johannesburg and all of those places, they all go to Johannesburg. So then you don't, to Cape Town. So then you don't just have, you know, tourists visiting Cape Town, but you also have local people. Yes. So Cape Town has got all the people in December. Which is something to take into consideration.
That's true.
But yeah. Okay, so let's move on to Botswana. And I want to talk specifically about the Kavango Delta because I think that's where most of, if people think about Botswana on a safari, most people think about either Chobe, and we'll touch on Chobe, or the Kavango Delta. And the Kavango Delta, I always find this one an interesting one because it's wet in the dry season and dry in the wet season. So people normally want to see, or let's use the word peak season again in Botswana, is normally June, July, August, September. And in some areas in the Delta, maybe even October. And that is because the water level is at its highest. And it's a very big contrast to a place like South Africa where those months the water levels start receding quite a bit.
Yes.
And the reason for this is because the Delta is actually a desert. It gets fed. Its water source is the Kavango River that flows from the Angolan Highlands. So it rains normally in the Angolan Highlands between November and April, from November all the way through to April. It rains quite a lot in the highlands normally. And then the water will start trickling down from the Angolan Highlands into the Delta. And it normally reaches the Delta from late May.
Yes.
And then from May, June, July, those will be the peak season months. That's when the water is like high in the Delta. It becomes like this wetland paradise. And that's when the animals, you know, normally if you typically want to get those encounters with animals walking through the water channels, that's normally when you want to go then. So June, July, August, it starts receding a little bit, but there's still a lot of water. And you mentioned earlier about the Mokoros and all of those things. This is when it's the optimal time to do those. And then even up to September, there'll still be lots of water. And then from October, when it becomes really hot in the Delta, that's when the water starts receding all the way after November. And then normally from December, the rainy season starts in the Delta. So there'll be less water, but it might rain. So it sounds a bit contradictory.
Yes.
But that's because the Delta is dependent on the river that gets fed from Angola. So that's why it's weird like that. But to touch on it, so my favorite time in the Delta is definitely November. Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned earlier, I'm a big birder. That's when the migratory birds start coming and they really come in their large numbers to the Delta, which is unbelievable to see. And then also unbelievable skies. You've got these very dramatic storm buildups. And yes, it might rain. You might get rained on even from November, especially in the afternoon. So normally in the Delta, there's some afternoon storms coming in. But the buildups, as a photographer, that's what you want. Yes. You've got those lightning strikes and you've got those, and you see it from far away because the Delta is quite flat. There's no mountains or anything. You can see that storm approaching from very far and it's breathtaking. And also, if you had to ask me one question, if you had to ask me what is my favorite day of the year to be on safari, and that day changes from year to year, but that day is the first day after the first heavy rains.
I thought you were going to say like the 1st of November. I'm like, that's very specific.
No. So it changes every year. But my favorite day is that first day after the rain because, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well, Danny, but the bush just explodes after the first rain. The frogs come out. The birds start singing. Animals behave differently. Even though the impalas start jumping around, almost like they're happy.
I'm thinking now more of like flowers. Oh my word, yes. And fruits coming out. And it's like within a day.
It transforms to green within a day. It's unbelievable. And especially a place like the Delta, you witness that. So That's my personal favorite month, but yes, it can rain, so you have to prepare for, to be rained on. And also, it can be hot. So if it doesn't rain, it's going to be hot. So those are the things that you need to take into consideration. But luckily, most places in most lodges in the Delta are quite well equipped in terms of pools and air conditioning in the rooms and things like that. So that should be that shouldn't be too big of a problem. But so yeah, January, February, March is what they call the low season, which means the rates are lower of the lodges, which could be nice, but it is, it's going to rain a lot in those months. So you will probably get rained on. I mean, the mornings can be pleasant. Like we said, it's normally an afternoon rainfall destination. So it rains quite a bit in the afternoon normally. And there can be lots of bugs, like we said, but you've got a very beautiful, lush green Delta, which is amazing. Because like I said, even though it's, the Delta gets filled with water June, July, August. The vegetation is still quite dry because it doesn't rain. So if the plants, sure, the plants around the pan systems are wet, are green, but the ones further away are quite, you know, brown.
Yeah.
So if you want to see a green, green Delta, then from November, December, January, February, March, that's when you need to travel.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just had people, they went to Johan and Andrew, they were just in Delta and they've shared some incredible footage of how green it actually is in November now. So
other incredible predator sightings that they had.
That's the thing. Right.
Like we said again, what is peak season?
Yeah. No, you're right. So that's the thing about Botswana. It's really a good destination any time of the year because of, if game viewing is your thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of animals in the Delta. There's a lot of them and depending, I mean, it doesn't depend on the time of year. You'll always see them. I guess it's just like you said with South Africa, the bush thins out a little bit in the winter months and there's a lot of water. So you get that typical animals walking through the water channels, which is that iconic photo people want from the Delta.
Yeah.
So in terms of Chobe, again, Chobe is all year destination. Just remember, Chobe is a national park, so there can be more vehicles like self-driving themselves in there. So there's a lot of South African people, for example, that go there and drive themselves around in their SUVs. But similar thing, you want to go later in the year. So June, July, August, September, October are the ones that I would say because that's when all the elephants, and I mean, I don't know if everybody listening to this knows this, but the Chobe National Park has got the highest density of elephants in Africa. So if you drive the Chobe River in October, you'll see hundreds, maybe even thousands of elephants. It's quite the sight to behold. Okay, let's move on from Botswana from here, Danny, and let's maybe move into a place like Namibia.
Yes. Oh, Namibia, one of our favorite safari destinations. Namibia is quite actually a unique place because it's year-round. You can go to Namibia year-round. I won't say that there's a bad time to go to Namibia. But it's also in Namibia, destination-wise. Let's say if you look at Etosha. Mm. Etosha, it's better to go into the winter months, which is typically Namibia's hot year-round. But winter months, per se, is more or less like June, July, August. And the reason for that is the animals will congregate around the watering holes during that time. Yes, Namibia doesn't get a lot of rain. So that is a good time of year to go. But if you're looking at places like Sorsos Vlei, Damara Land, you know, the Skeleton Coast, those places year-round. So it's such a nice place just to go if you want to go. You don't really have to put much thought in it unless you put Etosha into that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing about it's a desert, and it doesn't rain a lot in the desert. It's not, and also there's no rivers leading into it. So it's not like the Delta that gets filled with water.
Yes.
There's no water sources leading up to, for example, Dead Flay and Sorsos Vlei. So chances of seeing water. Is very low.
So you're on the... In Namibia, I always explain Namibia like this, is you do not go there for wildlife. You do not target wildlife there. If you do see wildlife there, it's a bonus.
Mm.
You go for the dramatic landscapes. It's a landscape country.
Yeah.
Also dramatic skies, you know, sort of play with the red dunes, catching that golden light on that. The Skeleton Coast with the like the misty Skeleton Coast, all those kind of stuff. Yeah. So that is what you target in Namibia.
I agree with you. I don't think Namibia is, if you're a first-time safari goer, you'll be disappointed if you go to Namibia in terms of animals.
Yes.
But I would still, if you're coming, if it's your first time to Africa, I would definitely still include Namibia if I could.
Yes.
But I would definitely combine it with the South Africa or with a Botswana.
And I'll do that first. Do the Namibia first, and then you end off with a Botswana or South Africa with animal. What?
And what you just, all your destination, it just made me think of what really is special about Namibia and another reason to go apart from the landscape, so the stargazing.
Yes, that's right.
And because there's very limited rain.
And light pollution as well.
Little light pollution. The skies are always clear, so chances of you seeing amazing stars are pretty high.
Yeah.
And that's especially on Sossus Vlei. So that's also a very, very good reason to go to Namibia. There's similarities in the next country that I want to talk about, but also it's such a big contrast, and that's the forests of Uganda. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just spoke about this
dry
desert in Namibia. Now we're going to the lush green rainforests of Uganda. But the reason why I say it's similar is because they're both all year-round destinations.
Yeah, peak season.
No, definitely not. So if you want to, if gorillas are what you're interested in, there's two things that you can remember. That the long rainy season in East Africa, and that includes Uganda, is normally from March to May. And then the short rains are normally between October, November. But that being said, remember now, the forests where these gorillas live are rainforests.
Yes.
So they're always wet. Even if you're going outside of the long rainy season or the short rainy season, you need boots that can get wet because you're going to be walking in the mud.
Yes.
You need maybe even a light raincoat because you'll still get wet. The leaves are wet, and it's a typical rainforest. So the rain isn't something that really affects if you're going to be wet or not on that walking safari, finding the gorillas, the trekking missions. But that's an interesting one. So just, it's all year round destination, but always be prepared to get wet. It's just the way it is. But you, Danny, you're going there very soon. So
excited. But also I think the lodges and they're so well equipped for the rain. When you go out on a trekking, you know, if you don't have something, I think they are so well equipped to help you, be prepared for whatever weather will come while you're trekking.
Yeah. I think what's nice about Uganda is Uganda, because it's right next to Kenya, it's such an easy combination of combining a gorilla track in Uganda, maybe even a chimpanzee track in Uganda, with a safari in the Masai Mara in Kenya. So if that is something that you want to do, then maybe why not, do a gorilla tracking and see the Great Migration in Kenya. So then a good month or good time to travel would be July, for example.
I would say like something for Kenya, if we're swapping over to Kenya. So from Kenya, I would say July, August, September has been a very good month for me personally. And I think a lot of people will say that as well because of the migration. You know, you can never predict what the migration is going to do. But those months are typically known as the migration months. And the reason for this is of all the rains that's starting to come towards the Masai Mara and the wildebeest that are following the rains. So yeah, if you do combine Uganda, I would say do something like that with July, August, September. I've had guests that actually did that this year and they were very happy with their itinerary that they did.
Oh, that's
cool. So yeah. But your other months in Kenya is also great. If you look at October, November, you get those dramatic skies, the thunderstorms that's coming in. And like you said, with Botswana as well, you can see the lightning from so far away. And it's the same with Kenya, especially the Masai Mara. You see the thunderstorms rolling in from kilometers away. And it's just this beautiful open landscape with, let's say, a giraffe or an elephant walking on the horizon with a storm. I'm just imagining stuff here right now with a storm coming in and lightning. And it actually reminds me of a video that Mike got now. So yeah, that's October, November. That is what you're aiming for if you go to the Masai Mara in that time. December, January, February is typically a very wet month for the Masai Mara. And a lot of the roads become inaccessible where you can't drive. A lot of the roads there are black cotton swale. And I think you've also probably had experience with black cotton swale.
Too much.
It's this slick cotton swale that you either get stuck in or you get thrown around.
It's such your vehicle, doesn't it? Like, you can't get out of it.
You can't get out of it.
It's almost like quicksand, but not quicksand. Yes. It's crazy.
So we normally just avoid that during the rainy season. And that limits your area and your roads a lot. You can go in those seasons because then it's, again, those lush green backgrounds that you get. But you're either going to get rained on or you're going to get stuck somewhere. That is the unfortunate thing for those months, for, let's say, December, January, February.
I think the beauty of a place like Kenya, though, is that it's got more than the Masai Mara to offer. So, for example, in those wet seasons, like you just mentioned, January, February, March, although we wouldn't recommend the Masai Mara because of all the reasons Danny just mentioned now, a place like Amboseli could be amazing.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Because that's when Mount Kilimanjaro is, well, normally the best view of it. That's when the skies are the clearest around it, where you don't have cloud cover covering the peak of Kilimanjaro normally. Again, yes, it can happen, but normally. And like places like the highlands, like Samburu or Laikipia, those areas get a lot less rain. So maybe there's some more accessibility. I want to ask you, Danny, so you mentioned the big thing here that's a lot of people are interested in with very good reason, and that's the Great Migration. So
yes,
you mentioned, if you want to see it in Kenya, the best months would be July, August, September. And that's because that's also when they cross the river, right?
Typically, yes. That is when they will cross the river. So that's when they'll come in from the northern Serengeti, and then they normally split up. So the one group will go into the Mara Triangle, and then first the Mara National Park, and then into the Mara Triangle, crossing the river into the Mara Triangle. And the others will go to the border between the Mara Triangle and the Northern Serengeti. But if you're looking at what's happening before the crossings, we are now looking at like January, February, March. That's more Tanzania side. Or however you want to say it.
Tanzania. I don't even think the people in Tanzania or Tanzania know. So.
But anyway, so you're more looking now at January, February, March. Reason being that the migration is a continuous cycle. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
I agree, yeah.
That it's not just the crossings. It's the birthing season as well. So January, February, March, the wildebeest, they are in the southern Serengeti and they start giving birth. Now again, it's this lush green grass that you have, but also a lot of predator activity because the predators, they prey on these young wildebeest. It's such an easy prey for them. So if you're looking more for, let's say, predator activity, hunting activity, you into the drama and the chaos, that is a good time to travel to the Serengeti, January, February, March. But if you're more looking for the chaos of crossings, that is into Kenya and June, July, August, September.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people. You need to understand that the Serengeti is a much bigger place than what the Masai Mara is. So, and the calving season happens in the far south of the Serengeti. And they're there for almost probably, I would say, the longest time of the year because their youngsters can't move as far quickly yet because they were just born. So then from there, they'll move to central Serengeti and then western Serengeti and then north, as Danny said, into Kenya. So if you want to get those dramatic photos of, you know, wildebeest crossing the river, maybe even crocodiles in the water waiting for them, then that's typically, like you said, June, July, August. But the migration also keeps on changing. I mean,
yes.
Mike was just in the Masai Mara about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we are still in November, if you're listening to this podcast a little bit later. So he was there about the first week of November. Sorry, I interrupted you. And he says all the herds, well, most of the herds are still at the border of the northern Serengeti and the Masai Mara, which is so strange for this time of year. And that's what I said earlier as well. The migration is so unpredictable. We cannot predict what is going to happen when. And we saw this year in comparison to what happened last year. We're getting a little bit off topic now, but last year, the best time of month to travel was September, late August, September, I had some incredible crossings late August, September. This year, August, September, there was almost nothing there. And they came back. Yeah. They came back now in November.
Yeah, and we can all blame, yeah, climate change is definitely probably the biggest player at play here. But yeah, so I think the important thing for people listening to get the message to get out of this is that the migration is a continuous thing. They keep on moving. It's not something that only happens between 2 or 3 months of the year. They're just in different places. And that means different countries. But I mean, if you wanting to go in like a December month, get in touch with me and Danny, and we'll happily discuss sort of when, where we can predict the wildebeest might be. Again, it changes a lot and it's very difficult to predict, but we can always do our best. And also we've got great contacts out there to ask people and ask lodges, listen, are the wildebeest around or where are they now? Our team, our wild eye team in Kenya also normally have a very good understanding of where they are. So we're well informed.
But that's not just for Kenya. If you're wondering about any destination, Svalbard, for example. I don't know a lot about Svalbard, but we've got our Svalbard expert, Jerry. And if you're wondering what is the best time for Svalbard, head in touch with us. The best time for jaguars, for Brazil, Pantanal.
Tigers in India.
If you're unsure,
let us
know.
And then I also want to talk just about another safari destination that especially over the last 2-3 years have really become popular. And now David Attenborough is actually also doing a documentary that's been released in the UK. It's not quite released in Africa yet, which I find is so unfair because it was made in Africa, but Africa's getting it like last, which is so unfair. So to all of our UK listeners, please send me a link there so I can sneak into your little BBC. I think it's called BBC
Earth.
It's BBC like I or something. It's some weird BBC subscription that we don't have access to.
We're South Africans.
Yeah. And even in the States, I don't think this documentary has been released there yet, but this is in Zambia. So Lower Zambezi and South Luangwa. So this place has really been put on the map over the last few years. And it's very well known for leopard sightings and water activities as well, especially in Lower Zambezi, and also just unbelievable scenery. Yeah. I think it's probably the most scenic place to see a leopard in that you can travel to at the moment. So really, really scenic place. And let's just talk about sort of when's the best time to go there. Because actually, especially focusing on Lower Zambezi now, a lot of their camps actually close down for a lengthy period of the year, normally when it's like the peak rain season. And that's just because the roads become so inaccessible, it's so muddy, the river is so high that where the lodges are or the camps are actually based will actually be washed away if they were there in the peak rainy season. Yeah. So they would say the later in the year before the rainy season you can go, the better in terms of game viewing. So that would normally be like September, October. But you need to bear in mind that it's going to be super hot.
Hot, yes.
And unlike a place like the Delta, Zambia, most camps, because they're seasonal camps, don't have pools. Mm. So you can't just go and swim and cool yourself down. And they definitely don't have air conditioning. So if you're going to go in October, you're going to get super, it's going to be the warmest time of your life, but you'll be rewarded with the most unbelievable game viewing that you can possibly see. So I think that's when I would go, if I had the option.
If you can take the heat.
If you can take the heat.
If you can take the heat and you're focused on that perfect leopard shot, that's the time.
That's the time to go. So that's definitely what I would recommend. But also, I mean, there's the game viewing there has been so consistent over the last while that you could go earlier as well, like June, July, August. Actually, I changed my mind. That's probably when I would go. You know why? Because I can take the heat, but because it's the best time for photographers to go, all of the photographers are there. So it can get quite crowded and busy in like October. So maybe June, July, August, when there's less vehicles, but still great game viewing, is maybe when I would want to go. The river is a little bit higher at that stage as well. But I mean, anytime you can really do those canoeing safaris where you get quite close to hippos and all of that wonderful things. I would not recommend going in. Well, you can't really go in January, February, March because the lodges are closed. So I don't know where you're going to stay.
You can pitch your own tent.
We can pitch your own tent, but at own risk.
Yes.
So yeah, I would say definitely in the later winter months, early spring, hot spring months, that's the best time to go to. And the same goes for South Luangwa. So a lot of people combine South Luangwa with Lower Zambezi, which is definitely what I would recommend as well, because then you get a bit more variety. Thank you, goodness me.
English is running out.
Yeah, no, I'm reaching my quota for the day. So that is, I would say, the best time to go there. Just something to bear in mind. I don't know why I want to say this now, because it's got nothing to do with when to go. But if you're a first-time safari goer, I know an animal that everybody wants to see is a giraffe. But Lower Zambezi, there's no giraffe really. So you might, there has been some recorded there, but very few and far between. So just bear that in mind. Yeah. You might not see a giraffe on your first safari. Danny, so I want to ask you one quick question. So now that we've covered most very popular safari destinations in Africa and Southern Africa and East Africa, what is your one favorite, and this is not depending on time of the year,
okay,
but what is your favorite safari destination?
Yo.
If listeners can choose only one safari, it doesn't matter what time of the year, but they can only go on one, where must they go?
They're only going on one, that's their one-time safari, that's it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I think I might be very biased to the Sabi Sands because I work there. but I think South Africa is just such a wonderful place for first-time, only-time safari.
Hmm.
Just because you can combine it with so many other things and there's so many different stuff to do in South Africa. So what I will do is I'll start off like, let's say, Sabi Sands. I'll go to the Sabi Sands for a couple of days, and then you can go to Cape Town afterwards. Mm. It's that perfect combination of bush and city life. I don't know. I think I'm very biased against, to Sabi Sands because I worked there for so long.
Yeah.
And I know what that can offer to people. I think I know what your answer will be to that.
What will my
You'll probably say Botswana.
I will, but you know what? If you had to ask me the exact same question that I asked you, my answer would most likely have also been South Africa, because it's definitely the destination with the highest chance of seeing the whole Big Five.
That's true.
And that's one thing that every first time safari wants to check, and rightly so, you want to see the Big Five on your first safari. So I agree with you with that. And then also the option, like we're busy working on itinerary now where guests want to go to the Sabi Sands and then to Tswalu, which is such a nice, that's also
beautiful.
For those that don't know what Tswalu is, it's literally sort of in the more central western parts of South Africa. Well, no, northwestern parts of South Africa. It's a desert. It actually runs, it's in an area called the Kalahari, which is a desert. And you get desert species there, but there's a lot of them, and especially in a place, Tswalu. Tswalu is a lot for conservation, so they've really conserved a lot of different species there. So quite a nice combination of doing the Sabi Sands and then different desert species in the Kalahari. And these guests are also first-time safari goers, and they are desperate to see as many different species as they can. And I think then it's a nice combination.
And I think there is as well where South Africa plays a very big role because of our typical savannah, low felt area, grateful Big Five, and then a place like Tswalu, Kamap, where you have your desert adapted animals.
You're very right.
So I think, I would say South Africa. Yes.
But you're not wrong. I would have been very, very keen to tell the people that they need to go to Botswana as well, just because it's, you might not see the Big Five in terms of things like rhinos and all of that, but Botswana, there's just a different feeling in Botswana. It's an extremely wild place. And I'm not saying that South Africa is not wild or any other place is not wild. They're all very wild animals. But Botswana just has a different feeling. Like, it feels like it's endless. It's so big. You never know where it's going to end. And it's just animals everywhere. Like, it's such a weird thing. And I think that's why I love Botswana so much. But all right, I think we've covered most bases in terms of when to go to Africa. Yes. And again, remember, just a reminder that the right question is not when to go, but what do you want from the safari? Because that will depend when to go. So thanks, Danny.
Thank you, Donovan.
I think we've covered lots. If anyone has any questions, please, Danny, how can people get all of you?
Well, you can either email me. My real name is Daniel, daniel@wild-i.com. Or on Instagram, Daniel Wildlife Photography. You can also reach me there. And Donovan, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so a very So my Donovan, D-O-N-O-V-A-N at wild-i.com. Or my Instagram handle is Donovan Cross with four S's at the end. And so it's Donovan
Cross. That's another story to unpack.
Donovan Cross.
You see? Yeah.
Or you can just email us at info@wild-i.
Yeah. Or just, you know, connect on our website. So on our website, there's so many places where you can click, you know, find more out about the safari, or there's even bucket list safaris for different destinations. Go play around on our website, wild-i.com, and literally you'll, through that way, you can also get in touch with us. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope this answered some of your questions, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.